2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good afternoon. It's 5:30 at KSL News Radio. Jeff Kaplan here. It's overcast. It's 87 degrees. KSL's top story. Over 1,000 new COVID-19 cases in Utah reported today, and elected officials in Utah County are especially worried. 40% of the cases came from there today. So they held an emergency meeting to talk about what they should do. Maybe mandate masks? KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Even though most elected officials in Utah County are pro-mask, they don't believe they'd be able to enforce a mandate. Commissioner Nathan Ivey says the real trick is getting people to want to wear them, like what happened in Salt Lake County.
The cultural differences in Salt Lake County and Utah County are significant.
Some mayors say they're going to renew their efforts to have businesses require masks. Sheriff Mike Smith tells KSL's Live Mike with Lee Lonsberry he'd support an effort that rewards mask users. And state epidemiologist Angela Dunn says many leaders in Utah County are concerned about going back into the orange.
It's no surprise that Utah County feels that pressure given the amount of cases they've had recently.
Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
1,117 cases reported by the State Department of Health today. KSL News Time 5:31. More of our top stories now. Here's Todd Fuchs.
Jeff, the Pac-12 is targeting November 7th as their date to start playing football again, according to KSLSports.com. The majority of the schools are saying they need 6 weeks to prepare for a season. Some California schools are saying 8. The University of Utah has not had to deal with the same restrictions as the California schools, however. But Utah so far has avoided the massive fires that have burned in several other western states. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce says there are some good reasons for that.
A couple of years ago, Utah changed how it fought fires, switching from a focus on putting them out to clearing up as much dead and dry brush beforehand as possible. But State Forester Brian Cottom told lawmakers this week that policies at the local level are also making a difference.
We cannot cut our way out of the problem that we're facing in Utah and across the West. The other two elements, fire-adapted communities and improving fire response, are every bit, if not more important, than simply fuels work.
But he also says there has to be a change in behavior because most fires in the state this year were started by people. And that change, while possible, will take time. Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
The West Coast communities are adding up the damage caused by the wildfires. Maria Chaleos with more live at the KSL National News Desk.
Todd, Washington State's Commissioner of Public Lands, Hillary Franz, today taking in the damage in the town of Malden.
Fire station's gone, city hall's gone, post office is gone, and 80-plus homes, which is the bulk of that community, gone. And to see that devastation of an entire town lost in just a few hours is shocking.
She says many of the homeowners don't even have insurance. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey calls the aftermath of Hurricane Sally really bad in her state.
Slow-moving Sally is probably the slowest-moving storm with the greatest impact that anybody's ever seen.
Homes and businesses suffered severe flood and wind damage. Homes that were not half-submerged in water were shredded. President Trump says he has instructed his people to find a way to return the overseas pharmaceutical industry to the U.S. and to base it in Puerto Rico.
Bringing back the pharmaceutical industry, manufacturing in Puerto Rico is what they've wanted for years, and we're doing that.
The president making the announcement during a White House news briefing on COVID. Live from the KSL National News Desk, I'm Maria Chaleos, KSL News Radio.
Thank you, Maria. The Democratic candidate for governor wants his opponent off the state's COVID task force. Your voice, your vote, 2020. Lindsay Ayres reports from the KSL Elections Desk.
Chris Peterson says Governor Herbert should replace Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox as head of the state's response team.
We need to change in direction. And in my view, we need to turn to having our public health officials lead this public health crisis.
He says the lieutenant governor's role should be over elections and lobbyists.
He is not historically the person in charge of the Department of Public Health. That's the agency that the legislature tasked with responding to this type of a crisis.
Cox's campaign said the lieutenant governor was not available and did not provide a comment. From the KSL Elections Desk, Lindsay Ertz, KSL News Radio.
We've got a storm coming in this weekend, and along with that, more worries about tree branches. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards reports.
This will have potential rain, some tonight, possibly some tomorrow morning. And when we get more wind or it changes direction, more tree branches could come loose or even blow around on the street from those piles. But there should not be super large wind gusts again. As for pickup crews, in cities around northern Utah are getting to those street by street.
Forecasters saying the wind and rain should clear up by Saturday afternoon. And it's been exactly 6 months since the 5.7 magnitude earthquake hitting the Wasatch Front. If you felt it, you likely remember what you were doing when it hit. This is an interesting survey. The Utah Division of Emergency Management polled its employees about what they thought was happening when the quake hit. So out of about 300 people, 103 thought it was a large truck or airplane going by. 45 thought a member of their family or neighbor was causing the noise. Another 45 thought it was a big gust of wind. 65 people thought that it was an earthquake.
How about you, Todd? What did you think?
Big gust of wind.
Really?
I get the canyon winds rattling my windows a lot in March, so I figured that's what it was.
I knew within about 15 seconds. I actually asked my wife, thinking she's an old salt about this kind of thing. I said, is this an earthquake? And I knew the answer before she answered. And it was unnerving for a first-time experience. Thanks, Todd. KSL News Time, 5:36.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.